And hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Delaware County Matters on WDLR, My96.7, and CD92.9. My name is Evan T. Gardner, and I'm here again with my producer, Nathan Tracy. And today we are talking about cryptocurrency. And before I introduce our guest for today, I'm going to go ahead and apologize in advance as we are doing this recording in the middle of the city of Columbus. So I apologize if you hear any sirens or anything like that. Hopefully, Nathan's editing will drown that out. But yeah, I apologize in advance if this is the case. Here today to talk about cryptocurrency is Mr. Connor King. How you doing there, Mr. King?
I'm doing well, Evan. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much for your time today. First of all, just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, awesome. Well, excited to do this, first of all. Second one I've been on, so I'm excited to do this. I always find it fun to speak with people and really dive into crypto and really just kind of gauge others' interests on the topic as well. So a little bit about me. Grew up in Delaware, Ohio, about 30 minutes north of Columbus. Went to a high school called Delaware Hayes. Eventually went to school at Ohio Wesleyan, where I studied finance and economics. Played football in university as well for a little bit. And then that is really when I kind of fell down the proverbial crypto rabbit hole. So I'd always been interested in finance and investing in markets from pretty early on, call it early on in high school. I just thought the idea of the markets were super interesting, and the fact that you could turn a dollar into $2 and let that compound was just really fascinating to me, and really just sparked an intellectual curiosity there. And as I was wrapping up high school, I began spending more and more time reading about just finance and investing and researching, and realized that I really wanted to make a career out of that. And go work at an investment bank one day and then potentially a hedge fund. So when I was in high school, I started doing some investing here and there, was trading out of my personal account, trading some stocks and some derivatives as well, some stuff like calls and puts, also known as options. And as I was wrapping up high school, going into college, I got introduced to Bitcoin at the time, which was the largest cryptocurrency. And when I read about it, I thought it was super interesting from both a tech perspective and also kind of an investment perspective as well. Really from the asymmetry, and really an asymmetric kind of investment is something that has relatively low downside with a lot of upside. And I thought Bitcoin kind of presented that early on. So I made my first kind of Bitcoin and crypto investment in the beginning, I think spring of 2017. Bought a little Bitcoin on an exchange called Coinbase at the time. And as I was in school, in college, I was doing a lot of just personal research on crypto in general. I really fell down the crypto rabbit hole pretty hard in the fall of 2017. So after Bitcoin, really went into Ethereum, which is the largest kind of smart contract blockchain out there. And started learning more and more about the applications built on top of Ethereum, what you could do with smart contracts, the idea of cryptocurrency and kind of blockchain in general, the potential use cases there. And I thought it was super interesting from a tech and kind of productivity standpoint, that what you could do with that technology and really enhance the world from both finance and technology and all these different use cases. So during that time, the crypto markets really gained a lot more traction from the mainstream media. More people were investing and trading and spending their time learning about the space as well. The volatility started to pick up. More and more assets were getting coverage and stuff like that. So I was spending a lot of my time, even during my classes, trading and investing. And my professors thought I was pretty crazy spending so much time in the space. They thought it was going to go to zero and I was wasting my time. I had a lot of conviction that the asset class was here to stay. During that time, I got poached from a lot of family and friends and colleagues about them wanting to learn more about crypto assets and where they could just really learn about what it is, how they can get involved, how to set up a wallet and stuff like that. And I was with a buddy of mine at the time, and we toyed around the idea of potentially starting up our own investment firm because we saw a lot of interest from family and friends. They didn't really have access to invest on it through their traditional kind of wealth managers or brokers or platforms or whatever. And we kind of saw an opportunity to capitalize on the idea of potentially launching a fund where we could really just take advantage of something that we were spending all of our time really in. So we built out the infrastructure for a crypto hedge fund towards the end of 2017, all of 2018, and early 2019, building out infrastructure with like the trading and exchanges to custody to like bank accounts, all that kind of core infrastructure stuff with like an asset management firm. We tried raising some institutional capital throughout that period of time from like angel investors, venture capitalists, high net worth individuals, endowment funds, stuff like that, the kind of quote unquote institutional investor. And we spent a lot of our time trying to fundraise and put on like educational events, but it was really hard to fundraise from those types of investors at a relatively young age. At the time, I think we were like 20, 21 years old, trying to go raise like a $10 million fund. But that was very hard in the depths of a bear market. Bitcoin and pretty much the whole asset class had pulled back 80, 90%. And a lot of institutional investors kind of feared that volatility and didn't really want to be the first to move into the space there. So we just ate glass for a handful of years, and it was tough. But as we kind of got towards this end of our senior year of college, realized that we wanted to still spend our time in the crypto space and wanted to really make a career out of it. So once I realized that, I came out of school during COVID. So in April and May of 2020, I joined a small tech startup in the crypto space, a company called MoonPay. And MoonPay is essentially a payments infrastructure company. So they build out the infrastructure for buying and selling of crypto. So like a fiat on-ramp or off-ramp. So like if you wanted to buy crypto with a debit card or a credit card or like Apple Pay or Google Pay, we were kind of that middleware, middleman that powered that whole kind of experience. So I joined in the end of April as the kind of first growth hire there. I think I was employee number 6. And myself and another guy on the team basically led out the entire kind of business development, strategy, sales, kind of growth side of the company. And what that meant was we were basically just trying to increase revenue. Like we wanted to get our product integrated on exchanges, wallets, decentralized applications, kind of all those different things in crypto. Basically anywhere where a company or a protocol or project or app, whatever, would benefit from having like a buy or sell feature, like we wanted to get our product integrated there. So like that was a lot of fun doing that really early on out of school. Got to do a little bit of everything from sales and business development to like marketing to like research to operational stuff. And we scaled the product and the team and the whole company tremendously over the course of 2020, going into 2021. I think we got to almost 100 people by the end of 2020. So completely 10x the firm in over 6 months or so, doing hundreds of millions of dollars a day or per month, excuse me, in monthly transaction volumes. So that was a lot of fun to be a part of. During that time, I realized I wasn't super passionate about payments. I was passionate about crypto and the whole industry, but I wasn't really passionate about like the payment side of the crypto space. And I was really more passionate about like the asset management side and like the investing side of the space. And I wanted to make a move back towards that side of the industry. And as I was coming out of 2020, I reached out to a few different hedge funds in the space that I had relationships with, and eventually got an offer from a firm called Arca, which is one of the larger kind of crypto asset management firms in the industry, and joined their team at the beginning of 2021 and did a little bit of everything there as well. So like that was great. Did a lot of sales and business development. So like working with institutional investors from the pension funds, the endowment funds, sovereign wealth funds, all those kind of professional quote unquote institutional investors, would work with them on getting them allocations into our various funds, kind of being there once they got into the door. And as an investor in the fund, we were kind of there giving them updates on how the fund was performing, overall market. So stuff like that, continuing the whole kind of educational process. Also did a lot of like research with the portfolio team as well, among different sectors within the crypto space. I'm sure we'll kind of get into that later here in the episode. So was at Arca for a little over a year and a half. And then that kind of puts me to where I'm at today. So actually at the beginning of May, I started with a firm called Social Capital, which is a pretty large firm out of the Bay Area, so out of San Francisco, and joined to really build and run their first liquid crypto fund. So that's where I'm at today. So I'll just kind of like pause there and see what questions Evan might have.
Very good. So what is cryptocurrency?
That's a good question. So I kind of like the term crypto asset or digital asset, above, like one step above cryptocurrency, because kind of cryptocurrency has this like negative connotation that it's developed over the past few years. And I guess like cryptocurrency would be a currency that's like developed on the blockchain and used on like a digital ledger. So you could think of a cryptocurrency as like Bitcoin or as like Litecoin or like Bitcoin Cash. Anything that you use to like transact, I would consider that like a currency. But there are kind of other aspects within this whole industry that are asset-like or kind of like equity-like tokens. So like claims on like cash flows that protocols are doing. So like those are like digital assets. And within the space, you kind of have like your cryptocurrency. So there's stuff like Bitcoin. You have decentralized finance is another sector, also coined as DeFi. So you have like DeFi tokens. And decentralized finance is an interesting sector within crypto, where it's basically like the traditional kind of legacy financial system. So you have like your banks, like your money markets, like your borrow and lend platforms. You have trading venues like exchanges. You have asset management protocols. And this stuff is all built on top of like smart contracts and the blockchain. And it's all kind of on chain. And you can interact with this permissionlessly, meaning if I wanted to send an asset to Evan, I could do that without really a bank approval. Which makes the whole kind of crypto and blockchain ecosystem super interesting, that it's all permissionless, that like you don't really rely on a middleman to approve or disapprove some sort of transaction or really interaction that's happening on chain.
All righty. Well, Mr. King, before we go any further, we are going to go into a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we will learn some more about cryptocurrency. Stick around, everybody. And welcome back to Delaware County Matters, everybody. If you're just joining us, then just welcome. I'm glad you're here. I know I'm glad to be here. My name is Evan T. Gardner, and I'm here again with my producer, Nathan Tracy. And today we are here with Mr. Connor King talking about cryptocurrency. So, Mr. King, why is cryptocurrency gaining adoption and awareness in the world right now?
Thanks. That's a good question. And I think it really goes hand in hand with the whole kind of like macro environment right now. So over the past few years, I think crypto and digital assets have started to begin to like really find what is known as like product market fit. So like 4, 5, 6 years ago, it didn't really have product market fit. Like you really had Bitcoin, and that was like the really only like main crypto that you had. And Bitcoin was kind of seen as like this digital gold kind of store of value. So like with gold, it's great because it has thousands of years of history and track record there, and people use it as a store of wealth or like a hedge against inflation. And more Bitcoin has really been discovered as an alternative kind of inflation hedge or store of value. So like that's been really cool to see. And you've seen the growth of that asset and the whole asset class in general tremendously. And just last year, I mean, the asset class reached over $2 trillion, which is really, really cool to see. A few years ago, it was really just a couple $100 million. So seeing that growth has been amazing. So in tandem with that, there's a lot of different product market fit and like protocols and applications. And like I talked about earlier, you have like your DeFi protocols. So we can kind of go in more depth there. So for example, there's a protocol called Aave, and that's essentially like an on-chain money market. So let's say I wanted to take a loan out while using like crypto. I could deposit Ethereum, or I could deposit USDC, which is also known as US dollar coin. So it's a stable coin, meaning that it's pegged to the US dollar. So if I wanted to take a loan out, I would deposit some Ethereum on Aave, and then I would take a loan out in either USDC or any other asset that I wanted to really take a loan out against. And then you can really go interact within crypto with that kind of borrowed money, just as you would like with a normal bank. So like if I were to go to Chase, take a loan out, I would deposit some dollars. They would give me a loan, kind of go interact. If I wanted to go buy a car, go buy a car. If I wanted to buy a house, you can do that as well. Everything you can do at a traditional bank, you can basically do that on chain now. So like that's really cool to see. Another use case within DeFi is like your trading and like your speculation. So if you wanted to go buy a token, you could do that on a decentralized exchange, and you could really just swap USDC or stablecoin or Ethereum for the token that you wanted to. There's a handful of different decentralized exchanges across the globe that different various users and countries prefer. So that's really cool as well. And another project that I'll go into, which is one of my favorites, is a protocol and company called Helium. And Helium is a decentralized wireless network. And it's really working to disrupt the traditional kind of telecom companies. So companies like Verizon and AT&T. And the way Helium works is they have their own blockchain. And to power their blockchain, they have these like wireless hotspots, also called like nodes. So you can think of like a router that you may have in your house that powers like your Wi-Fi. So you get your hands on these nodes and these hotspots, and you set them up in your apartment or business or wherever. You sync it to your Wi-Fi, and then it basically pings and connects to the Helium blockchain, to that Helium network. And all these different nodes are running across the world. And the growth of that kind of coverage has been insane over the past year and a half. So at the beginning of 2021, there were roughly 10, 20,000 hotspots live across the world powering the Helium network. And today we just crossed over, I think over 800,000 earlier this month. So it's insane to really see that growth in the course of 18 months. And this is really cool because it flips the traditional telecom model on it, like upside down on its head. So if you're Verizon or AT&T and you want to set up cell coverage in Columbus or Chicago, you basically go map out the city, figure out where you want to set up a cell tower, do that mapping, and then you got to hire or bring on contractors to set up those cell towers, buy the equipment to set that up, and then use the expensive equipment to really power the cell coverage. Whereas with Helium, they basically do zero of that. Like they don't have employees going around setting up these massive cell towers, whereas there are people like myself or like Evan that buy one of these hotspots or nodes, set them up in our house, and boom, we power the network. So they have zero capital expenditure costs, zero employee costs. And it's just really cool to see that kind of network come alive. And you have companies like Lime, like the scooters that are using them as well. And later this year, they're working on rolling out 5G. So I think that'll be really interesting to see how they can compete with the traditional kind of legacy telecom companies at like the 5G level.
Very good. So moving forward, where do you see cryptocurrency going?
Right. I am very bullish on the tech and the whole asset class as a whole over the long run. I think it's here to stay. I think it's really a growth sector and industry. There's definitely going to be a lot of bumps along the road with really any new asset class or innovation. There's always going to be exploits and bad actors. You had bad actors in the mobile sector when that first came about in the 90s, and then same thing with like the internet. You see the same thing within crypto and digital assets as well. Like there's always going to be people that exploit stuff, which cause the bumps, but there are a lot of really productive, good things being built, good use cases being built. That's really revolutionizing the world here from a tech perspective. I think you'll see more regulation over the coming years, especially within the US, on how they can regulate it from an investment perspective, from almost like a dollar perspective as well, given that stablecoins kind of compete with like the US dollar. So I think you'll see more regulation, but I think that is like a net positive thing for the space, as it'll give companies and builders and investors more kind of clarity on where they can participate and really kind of give them a guide rail to how they can build and invest in this asset class. Because right now you have a lot of builders and investors sitting on the sidelines, like they want to get involved, but like they don't have enough clarity on how they can, because they don't want to get in trouble or really have legal trouble there. So I think you'll see a lot more regulation. I think you'll see more dollars flow into the space. A lot of the top hedge funds, VC firms raised tens of billions of dollars over the past 2 years, and they're deploying that capital. So you're seeing the smartest money in the world flow into the space. You're seeing the smartest builders and employees flow into the space. So I think that that's really good to see as well. So yeah, just really bullish on the whole space over the next few years. But I do think you'll see some bumps along the way. Just it's young and it's immature, but it's growing. And it is becoming more mature though.
Very good. So, excuse me. How can the average investor get involved in cryptocurrency, and what are some of the coins that are the best to invest in?
Gotcha. So kind of disclosure, I can't give investment advice. So I'm not going to, I can't say,
oh, okay.
buy this coin or sell this coin or whatever. But like, if you wanted to get involved within crypto or blockchain or digital assets, like you could go on like Coinbase and really just read their taxonomy on like what a blockchain is, how you can participate and how you can use it. You could go download a wallet on your phone, like the Coinbase wallet or like an Argent wallet. And then you could really just kind of go interact within these ecosystems. And I would say that's like the best way to really learn about these protocols and like how smart contracts work and how wallets work, like sending funds to and from friends or businesses or whatever, learning how to like buy them, getting an understanding of really just like what this technology is. And like I said, unfortunately, I could give investment advice, so I can't tell you which coin to buy, but there's a ton out there. I would just say do your research. I think that's the most important thing is doing the research for yourself, and don't let others kind of tell you what you should or should not be buying. I think it's really just comes down to the competency of yourself and understanding what you want to invest in if you decide to invest in this asset class.
Very good. So what are these NFTs that everyone is talking about right now?
Right. So NFTs really had their blow up stage last year, and they just were everywhere. They were first created years ago, but they were so small and minute portion of the kind of crypto asset class. And so NFT essentially stands for a non-fungible token, meaning that each NFT or like token is almost like a one of one or a 10 of 10, depending on the amount that are created. So think like with baseball cards, like you have your Sammy Sosa's and your Barry Bonds. Sometimes within those, there's maybe only like 10, 20, 50 of those specific cards. And the same thing with like NFTs, they're very like authentic. Maybe there's 1,000 or maybe there's only 10. So there kind of has this like scarcity of supply, which kind of creates this demand if people find value there. And NFTs are really interesting. Most of them are built on top of the Ethereum blockchain. There's a bunch of NFTs being built on the Solana blockchain as well, along with the Avalanche blockchain. These are all different layer one smart contracts. And I think you're seeing a lot of integrations from traditional companies integrate these NFTs because they can bring in marginal users. Cool use cases would be like a Rolex authorized dealer that may have an NFT that goes with like that watch, for example. And if a buyer goes into the Rolex store and they have an NFT with, maybe they know like, okay, this is an actual real Rolex. It's got the one of one NFT, kind of provides that level of authenticity there. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of NFTs that are going around, a lot of people making money, a lot of people losing money. It's a crazy kind of secular trend going on right now. But I do think NFTs are here to stay, but there's kind of that boom and bust hype cycle.
Alrighty. So is there anything else about cryptocurrency that you can share with us and possibly educate our listeners about?
I would say the best thing is really just kind of go fall down the rabbit hole yourself. It's a very stimulating and curious just space. The use cases that you can find with this technology is truly fascinating. And I would just say that's the biggest piece of advice that I could give is really just kind of go experience yourself. You really find out how to like interact with like these wallets, how to use exchanges, how to play with DeFi protocols, how to kind of power things like Helium or like the Render network. There's so many different interesting protocols and like NFTs, and there's so many different facets within this whole asset class now that there's a million different things that you could do and careers that you could participate in or hobbies for that as well. So I would say just go play around with those things, get your hands dirty, and I think you'll really just learn a lot by doing. I think that's the biggest piece of advice that I could give someone.
Alrighty. Well, Mr. King, I would like to thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Evan. I had a blast.
Yes. And that is all we have for you today, Delaware County. Again, my name is Evan T. Gardner, and I'm here again with my producer, Nathan Tracy. And be sure to tune in next time for some more Delaware County Matters. Take care, everybody.